Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a prophecy reality edition. And this is day 107 of the COVID-19, yes, covert march to the mark of the beast, and it is full on. They've turned the tap back on. You notice that as people were becoming disgruntled with being locked down, you know, they introduced them to Black Lives Matter, a Marxist group that was created by three black scholars funded by George Soros and others, and giving the ability to actually extort from corporations money and become very, very, very filthy rich while pushing the narrative that the Antichrist wants. And just when people started having enough of that, and as you notice, it's kind of disappearing into the background, they're bringing forth the surge. That's right, the surge. And you just heard it during the news if you're listening to the broadcast, to the news just immediately at the beginning of the hour here. The surge is on. And that's, I want to talk a little bit about the surge. And I'm just trying to decide, what do I do first? I've got three videos I want to show you. And one is a pastor who had dreams. And I want to show you his dreams because I thought they would spark a lot of conversation. And then also there's a doctor who's offering $5,000 for for proof that the CV-19 exists. And this is an actual doctor. I'll give you the site and all that stuff, or the YouTube, you can check it out. All the information is there that you can check out, the doctor's credentials and everything, and listen to what he's saying. And then in the third hour, one of our later segments, I believe in our second hour, we don't have a third hour. I mean, I guess we could go on if more people would want to call in and take part in the broadcast. I might go into 3 hours, but We're going to listen to someone else in the third hour, whatever the regular programming is here at First Amendment Radio. But privilege they erased from history. This was a video that I caught wind of, and when I started to watch it, because usually I can watch a video for a few minutes and I get the gist of it, but this one sucked me right in, and I had to watch the whole thing eagerly. Okay, it's that good. So, the privilege they erased, you don't want to miss that one. That's coming up in the second hour. What should I do? Maybe I'll put it to the chat room there. Let me see. Everything has got a good sound check there. Everybody in the chat room? Video okay? Audio okay? Get some sound checks out there because my producer quit on me, so I got nobody here but me. I'm the only one in the studios today, so, and I don't think my daughter's got up yet, and if she has, I haven't seen her. So, let's put it to a vote. Do you want to see the dreams from the pastor? It's just a 10-minute video, if it's that. I think it's less than that, but the other one. Thanks for that check, Bob from PA. And or do you want to see the doctor who offers $5,000 for proof of COVID? Both of these are definitely worth watching. You know, I wouldn't bring you anything unless it was definitely worth watching. So first response of the chat room gets it. And while I'm waiting for a response, Bob from PA says doctor. So I guess we're going to go with it. We're going to talk about the COVID. I need to start using key code words for this stuff, because these Google YouTube algorithms might whatever. You get the idea. So anyway, I guess here we go, Bob from PA. We're gonna go with it. Let me get this set up here, and this is let me I'll put it in the chat room after the direct link. Okay, you asked for it. Here it
Well,
is.
there are only a few methods of testing for COVID-19. Here they are. The first one is the most common. And remember, during the first 2 months, that's all there was. People were being diagnosed by symptoms only. The precise presentation of the seasonal flu, those are the symptoms that created this phenomenon that has brought the world to a halt. The second way of testing for COVID-19, antibody test, blood test looking for antibodies. Now, the problem with this is that the philosophy of observing antibodies in the blood has changed 180 degrees. 15 years ago, the presence of antibodies in the blood could mean that the person had just recovered from some health challenge and that their immune system had created antibodies, which was evidence of their recovery. Now, the presence of antibodies in the blood means that this patient is afflicted with a pathogen that is potentially fatal and is in need of some heroic treatment. So, this is the way the antibody testing for COVID-19 was conducted. They would take the blood sample. If they observed any kind of antibodies, whether they were viral or bacterial or whatever, they did not differentiate. That was a positive test for COVID-19. Any kind of unidentifiable viral or otherwise debris in the blood was also counted as a positive test. Okay, let's look at the third type of testing, the PCR, the polymerase chain reaction test. This is the test where you had to send a sputum sample into CDC, and then they would test it with the PCR test, and they would send you back the result, positive or negative. It's a completely unverifiable test, as we're going to see, and we're going to go into the specifics of why that is. Next came the test kits. Now, the test kits were only sent out about a month ago. They were sent out actually around the middle of March. The CDC sent the new test kits to hundreds of hospitals and clinics across the country, and these test kits were supposedly to screen out people for COVID-19. The problem is when you look on the CDC website, it says right on the description, for experimental use only, not for diagnostic purposes. For experimental use only, not for diagnostic purposes. And then it says the CDC is making no claims for their validity. So after those test kits went out to all the hospitals about 3 weeks ago, that's when we saw this enormous spike. Because, of course, right away, when the hospitals finally got a testing procedure that they didn't have to send in to, Atlanta, they could report a lot more positive tests. The next thing that happened was, after those first test kits went out to the hospitals, the most recent thing that only happened a week or so ago now is the on-site test kits. And these supposedly are claiming to be able to take a sample from a patient and to screen them for COVID-19 in 5 or 10 minutes. This is completely ludicrous. It is impossible. It is scientifically untenable. These will not work at all. No one even claims that these on-site tests can validly differentiate anything, let alone COVID-19. They're completely unapproved and untested. And yet, the positive results from these unreliable tests are being included in the running total of COVID-19 cases being reported every day on the news. These are the main tests being used in this country today to count the numbers of positive cases we see enumerated on the daily scoreboard, not for diagnostic purposes. These are the only tests that are driving the daily numbers. The fact remains, none of these tests is scientifically verifiable and reproducible as a valid differentiation for COVID-19 specifically. They are all flawed and they're just estimates. Okay, so let's talk about the PCR a little bit more specifically here, okay? The polymerase chain reaction test was invented by Dr. Carey Mullis from Berkeley in the early 80s. He won the Nobel Prize for inventing this test. This test is touted by the medical profession then and now as the gold standard for diagnosing microbial disease in patients. They claim that it can specifically differentiate any viral disease from any other viral disease by sequencing the RNA and DNA. This claim is constantly made even today, and it is completely insupportable and untrue. No one was more critical of the PCR test than its inventor, Dr. Mullis. It was disavowed from the very first. Here's what he said, quote, "Quantitative PCR is an oxymoron. PCR by its very nature is unsuited for estimating numbers. A common misimpression that the viral load tests actually count the number of viruses in the blood. These tests cannot detect free infectious viruses at all. They can only detect proteins that are believed, in some cases wrongly, to be unique to HIV. The tests can detect particles of viruses, but not viruses themselves," unquote. So you can read more about that quote in the February newsletter. He was embarrassed, exasperated for decades about the claims that organized medicine was making for his test. It simply does not do what they claim. The amazing thing is, such extravagant claims have been made over the past 40 years for the PCR test by organized medicine that there has been no other technology developed in that entire 40 years which claims to make any improvement on the ability of the PCR test to identify and sequence viruses and bacteria. Recently, I found this out that Dr. Mullis died a couple years ago because I would really want to interview him at this time. An interview with Carey Mullis at this time would be extremely valuable. Let's ask this question. Where's the science? Is the polymerase chain reaction test, is it closer to science or closer to science fiction?
Okay, well, that's halfway through the video, and the rest of the video goes on to some more of the technical aspects of the testing. But I'm certain you get the gist, how unreliable, how unspecific these tests are, especially the further you get away from the one he's going into detail on now. It's supposed to be the best of all of them, and really they're going in and categorizing people by symptoms alone. And they give them a test that doesn't really test for the virus. It only tests for antibodies present that, anyway. I'll put the link in the chat room. You can check this thing out for yourself later, which I say you should do, and then, you know, do dig deep enough so that you're assured that that these people know what, you know, what this guy knows what he's talking about, that he has the credentials, and that you, with fact checking, you'll be able to determine whether this is true or not, which I've done, and I believe it is. So, let me see. Okay. Let's see if I can paste this in there. Oh yeah, there it is. So anyway, there's the link for that video. And I thought we'd discuss this. I have a friend who I've known for, oh gee, how many years now? 20 or 20 going on 30 years ago now, and I knew her husband when he was alive. I believe she's still widowed, although I haven't. But anyway, she has other health problems. She has asthma. At least she's claimed that on conversations I've been having with her online. And she is a true believer in masks and Black Lives Matter, but she is a Christian woman, and I believe her faith to be true and genuine. She cannot grasp the idea that there are really evil people out there in the world that really have evil intent, and that they are in high places in the government plotting and conspiring to rule the world. She just cannot believe it. Anyway, she just tested positive for COVID-19. And all I thought was she really wanted it. She did. She really wanted it. I don't know if she's a hypochondriac or what, and so I'm not going to mention any names, but that's how I thought, because she does meet the criteria to test positive whether she has the virus or not. Okay? And that's how you're going to test positive. Now, myself, I haven't been to a doctor for anything in over 40 years, at least, if not longer. Definitely over 40 years, because I know I went for checkups when I was a youth, probably before I was a, yeah. Probably haven't seen a doctor for a checkup since I was 15 or 16, because I was a ward of the state, because I was an orphan. Okay, so I got checkups at least on a semi-regular basis as a ward of the state, as an orphan. But since then, nothing. I went to a doctor once in my 20s. That's why I have to say over 40 years ago, because it was. And I went to a doctor once because I couldn't buy antibiotics and I had a sinus infection. So I got antibiotics to kill the sinus infection. And it was at that point when I decided that I would never get another sinus infection. Yeah. So I've done prevention ever since. Okay? And so I haven't had to see a doctor. Now, I have been sick, and I've been very sick on occasion. And I've had a few other health episodes, but I was always able to research and take care of those things and correct my behavior or whatever, or check the point that what caused the episode and not repeat that. So I'll stand with that and prayer and walking in the truth. So that's where I stand. Okay. But anyway, the whole COVID covert march to the mark of the beast. I was listening to what's his name? Butch Paw, I believe yesterday on Financial Survival. You should listen to that every day. And you should buy gold. Now, we've been saying for years, move out of the cities. And right now there's a mad rush to move out of the cities. Okay? And I believe, I'm maybe just preaching to the crowd here. Sid says, it is all true. I was a nurse over 25 years, even the, and that's an incomplete sentence, Sid. So, but you were a nurse for over 25 years, and so there's some verification. And it's like my friend who just tested positive for COVID. Like I said, she has other health problems that would make her an excellent candidate to test positive with the faulty tests that they have. That, they may test you positive if you actually have a COVID flu virus, but they may test you positive if you have anything else, viral or bacterial. Yeah. because they all seem to produce the same phenomena for the test. And that's what, if you watch that video through with the doctor there, you'll see that. And I'll put a link below this video when I post it on YouTube so that you can check it out for yourself and do your own research. I believe you should do that. Okay. Well, we only got a few minutes in this segment, and then I want to do the dream sequence next. And that may spark some... I'm not much for dreams, but, you know, I have had a few dreams that I know were from the Lord because they were not, like no other dreams I ever had in my life. And I shared those on the air right now, though they're not fresh in my mind right now. I think I think I wrote about one of them in my last book, when the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. I think I touched on my dream, or several dreams, because I had a sequence of two or three dreams. I can't really remember. It's been years now since that. But this guy had the same type of dreams. And when you know, when God has given you something, you know, and if it doesn't rub the wrong way with God's word, and so it's good to know that which is true, so that if that which is false comes up, you immediately identify it as not true. So we all need to be intimate with the Word of God. So read your Bible daily, weekly, as much as you can. Excuse me. Yeah, that COVID's crawling up in my throat. I mean, I know. I hope I've already caught whatever COVID flu virus is going around this year, but I definitely don't want to get tested or traced, because who knows what could happen. And with what they're putting together with this contact tracing thing, you can see where it's all going. Yeah, because I do believe the Antichrist is ruling the world, and I have read the handbook that the Antichrist and his minions, the shadow government handbook that was written 400 or 500 years ago. And I have seen, because I've been studying history, and I hope all of you have been studying history with me, or at least listening to the history. And if you haven't, then you should start. And if anyone wants to, and I guess I should start advertising this, that I'm going to put out on disc. I can put out volume one of James A. Wiley's History of Protestantism on CD. I guess I should make a promo and play that so that people can get that resource, because I'm working on volume two right now, and volume three will follow. We will get it all done. But okay, so we'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll close up this segment, and then we'll jump into our next, the dreams.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using scripture to interpret scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition, and I want to thank the few people that showed up in the chat room to be part of my broadcast today, at least in spirit and with a few typed words or texted words, as we have a chat room. And if you're listening, you can join the chat room. Go to firstamendmentradio.com or .net and click on the chat button. And there's a little screen in the right-hand column where you can see my face, because the studio cam is on, and you can see any exhibits or videos or whatever that I bring to that screen. Otherwise, just keep listening to your Prophecy Reality news app for those of you that have Android. And if you have an iPhone or Apple product, you can't get the app because they don't want you to have any app, only Apple-approved and creator-extortioned apps on Apple. But you can go to open your browser on your iProduct, on your Apple product, and yes, disconnected, reconnecting. But yeah, you can go. Yes, that's my disconnecting, reconnecting notification there. So I'm connected, dropped there for a second. But yeah, on your iProduct or Apple product, open up a browser, go to firstamendmentradio.com or .net. .net is probably better, /MOBI. And that'll give you your own mobile application. And then save a link on your Surface to that page. And voila, you'll have First Amendment Radio and all of our podcasts available at your fingertips there. So make sure you do that. Okay, on with the business. Yeah, as you're saying, let's get to that video you were talking about, right? Okay, well, I'm going to play most of this probably. I wish I could play them faster. You know how some video places you can speed them up like to 1.25 speed? YouTube doesn't allow that. I'd like to get through a lot of things faster. But okay, let's play it. Let me
Hey, this is Dana Coverstone. I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a patriot. I love this country. And I can confirm the first part of what I'm about to tell you because I told some men at a prayer group back in December, second or third week of December. But I want to share three specific dreams that I've had recently, going back to December, two that I've had this week, both Monday and last night, Monday and Tuesday night. Because I believe, number one, they are prophetic. The first one that I had has come explicitly true based on the events of March through June, the month in which we're living. And I do not claim to be a prophet by any means. I understand, though, that some dreams and visions by their nature have a prophetic tendency to them. But I do believe I've seen things, both that have happened as relevant by the first dream that I had and some things that I've seen recently. So you can take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. You can pray about it. You can think about it. But I believe that I have a warning for the country, a warning for rural America, a warning for America overall. But here's what happened. Back in December, I woke up. I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw a calendar starting January 2020. And it was being flipped. And I saw January. I saw February. I saw March. And when March came up, the hand held it, and I saw a finger underline the month of March, and then tap it three times. So underline the month of March, tapped it three times. So to me, it was emphasis. Something's going to happen in March. And then I saw April, May, June. And when June came, the hand underlined June again and tapped it three times. Then in the vision, I saw people marching, I saw protests, I saw people wearing masks, I saw lines going into hospitals. I saw typical medical doctors with needles or syringes. I saw people on ventilators. I saw people who were very, very sick, very, very ill. I saw newspaper headlines trumpeting thousands of people getting sick. I saw ambulances just flying down roads. I saw cities on fire. I saw buildings being burned. I saw protesters with masks. I saw people who had their fists in the air, people who were yelling and screaming, angry at the world. I saw courthouses. I saw state houses surrounded. I saw people who were mad at the world. I saw guns, shotguns specifically, put in the air, held like this. And I saw barriers within cities. And I told several men in my church about this, and I can confirm who those men were, and they'll confirm that what I'm telling you is what I told them. I saw absolute chaos. And the other thing I saw was vultures flying over large cities. And not just the ones that were burning, but I saw vultures flying over the cities. And I saw smoke rising, and I saw people fearful. I saw people terrified. I saw people inside their homes and looking out the windows, the curtains of their windows, with guns in their hands because there was absolute fear. Then I heard the words, brace yourself, brace yourself. So since December, I've been hearing those words, brace yourself, brace yourself. January, February came, didn't seem too much. I reminded the men of the dream. And then in March, boom, COVID-19 hit. And things started shutting down. Churches were shut down. Business was shut down. The economy shut down. Then we began to see the protests starting in May in Minneapolis. And all those things began to go on. So where we are at the end of the primary election here in Kentucky. And now there's talk of more shutdowns. I just heard the governor talk about schools opening back up and things of that nature. But the things that I saw in a dream, a vision back in December are the same things that I watched in the news almost every day since March through June. All this time I kept hearing, brace yourself, brace yourself. I spend time in prayer. I spend time in the Word. I'm a pastor. And it's not just my job. It's something that I enjoy doing. I love doing. And I'm very interested in the news around the world. I read 40 newspapers a day from all around the world. I keep up with news in other parts of the nations better sometimes than I hear here because it's hard to know who to trust. But I get news from all over the world, all around the world, from both liberal and conservative sources. I'm very well read. I'm very understanding of how nations work. I've traveled quite a bit, and I'm not just making these things up. I can confirm what I have said. And with that in mind, on Monday night, I had another dream. And it woke me from my bed. I made notes about it. I shot some video myself, just making sure I can remember. But here's what I saw. I saw a calendar. Start with a calendar. And as I was having this, the calendar was up, a white figure appeared. And it was representing God, the Holy Spirit, something pure, something righteous, something true, something holy, because there was nothing nothing sinister about it, nothing evil. But I heard the voice say, part two, part two. And I saw June go up. I saw July, I saw August, and then I saw September. And I saw the finger underneath the word September, like emphasizing it, and tapped it three times. And then I saw October come up, and then I saw November. And this is when it got real to me in the dream. I think the intensity, according to my Fitbit, when I woke up, my heart rate was about 180. So that was Monday night. It was also a night that I woke up not feeling very well at all. I was up during the night, not feeling well. But anyway, the minute the finger underlined November three times, instead of tapping it, I saw a fist ball up and it hit the calendar. And literally, the calendar exploded into the wall. The numbers seemed like they were 3D and they were falling, they were just flying everywhere. And there was a cloud of chaos that started. And then the next thing I saw was I saw armed protesters. I saw fighting in the streets. I saw people pummeling one another. I saw businesses shuttered and shut up. I saw schools closed. I saw schoolrooms with cobwebs hanging in them, and like things like papers falling off the wall and posters falling, like no one had been in them for months. I saw bank buildings with the roofs being taken off. It looked almost like alien abduction because money was just flying through the roof into some type of like a vacuum cleaner. That sounds kind of strange, but I was watching wealth just being taken. I saw politicians in back rooms making deals with people, patting people on the back and laughing and smiling and smirking. And I saw monuments. I saw Washington, D.C. burning. I saw Washington, D.C. blazing. I saw fires everywhere. I saw people being rounded up. I saw Chinese and Russian soldiers on the ground. And Russian soldiers were telling the Chinese soldiers to go and pick up these people, round up these people, secure this quadrant, secure this area. I saw blue helmets of the UN. I saw military things taking place. I also saw no sign of President Trump. I saw no sign of leadership in Washington, D.C. But the vultures that I had seen were now like gargoyles, and they were 10 feet off the ground, 10 to 15 feet off the ground. And they were just attacking people mercilessly. I saw people hiding in their homes and garages. I saw churches being burned. I saw homes being burned. I saw absolute chaos. And the fist punch on the November of 2020 is what got my attention. And then I heard the words again, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. That has been something that I have heard for almost seven months now. Starting once we get to July, it's going to be 7 months. And once again, I'm not claiming to be a prophet. I'm not proclaiming, we'll see what happens in November through November and see if I'm right about this. But I know when I hear God's voice, I know what God's voice sounds like to me. I know when he speaks. And I know when I have a dream that I know is him. And the things that I was seeing, I don't say this to scare people, but I say this to warn people that there are some pretty sinister things coming down the pike. And not just for the lost, but for God's people as well. The second dream I had last night, and it woke me up. In this dream, we just had a yard sale to help fund a team going to Ecuador this next year. And we had a yard sale. And I had asked our secretary to get us some change for that yard sale. So in the dream that I'm having, I walk to the bank. I walk into the bank to get some change. And on the door it says there's no change available. I saw the sign, it registered in my mind, but I walked on in, and the president of the local bank was at the teller station, and she was going to be taking care of business. And I said, I need to get $10 in quarters for a yard sale. And she said, I'm sorry, but the U.S. Mint is no longer making currency or making change like pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars. We're not doing that anymore. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She said, they've stopped doing it. And I said, well, how are we going to be able to charge $1.50 for anything? And she said, prepare for hyperinflation and just charge $2. And then she said to me in the dream, oh, and by the way, $1 and $5 bills will follow soon after that. And then I heard those words, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. And I woke up, I wrote these things down. I've never gone on video and recorded the dreams that I've had. And I hesitated to not do the one I had back in December. But everything I saw in that dream in December came true between March and June, when in the dream I was showed March through June. And so I don't think I would be doing anyone a service if I don't share what I saw in these dreams and visions. And I believe that we're going to see not just a second huge wave of COVID between September, October.
So there you have it. And, you know, a lot of that we've been saying here on First Amendment Radio between myself and Melody Cedarstrom and others here, that these things are coming. And especially, you know, for that we've been saying this for so many years that people just, you know, don't think anything of it anymore, that when they start printing lots of money, there's going, hyperinflation will follow. And especially, say, it rings true, the last thing he said, because I've been saying it too for over the last several years, why do we have pennies, nickels, and dimes when a dollar is worth, the whole dollar is worth 1/100th of what it used to be? A dollar used to be a penny. Well, I mean, the value, what, but the dollar used to be worth, I mean, the dollar now is worth what a penny was 100 years ago. So why do we need change for a dollar when it's the lowest denomination? Okay, I mean, true, 100 years ago, you could go in with a penny and you'd get, you know, 10 pieces of penny candy, because a penny had that much value. So now you go in with a dime, maybe you can get a piece of penny candy. I don't know anymore, because I don't buy candy, but you get the idea. And of course, the ones and the fives following shortly thereafter, they withdraw the change, because they're going to withdraw the change. Remember, they stopped making copper pennies because it costs too much. It costs more than a penny to make them. Well, now the fake pennies cost more than a penny to make, and they've just announced that recently. So they have to stop making them. Can you make a penny any cheaper? No, you can't. And what's the point in a penny anyway? It has no point. It's pointless. All the penny, all that change has been, is something to keep you blinded to what's really going on, to make things seem like normal. But see, now they brought this event. I mean, they've been planning this for years. They've had their so-called pandemics, how many, 3 or 4 in this century already, okay? And they just decided this is the one they're going on. When it came up, they said, it's time. You see the practices they did over the last year. It's all public information. It's all out there. You can see what Rockefeller Institute with Gates and the World Economic Forum and whatever all these other big things they put on over the year, last year, about a virus and an outbreak and all that and what they're going to do. And then here it comes and they start doing it. So, and I've been saying, get out of the city for years. Have you got out of the city? You know? Melody Cedarstrom's been trying to tell you to buy gold and silver for years, and people probably go, nah, you know what? Gold isn't doing anything. Silver isn't doing anything. Well, it's going to do something now. Yeah, it's doing something now. I told you at the beginning of this year that gold was going to hit $1,800. It's going to hit the old high real soon. Is this soon enough for you? It's been 6-7 months. It's almost there. Believe me, it's going to fly right by it. I think it's going to start jumping in $50, $100 increments by the end of this year. And from this pastor's dreams, and I don't know why he would lie. He's truly a pastor. You go to his website. He's he's an honest man, if he's a man of God, and he has people in his church that know what he's saying is true. And I'm sure if you went to visit his church, you could probably find those men out, and they would verify or testify that what he's saying is true. I believe him. I mean, I'm not sure about all the details of his dream or what it means, and a lot of the details. And I hope, you know, I can only hope that he's wrong or misconstruing some of the things that he saw, because I don't want things to get that bad. But they can. I've been reading a lot of history, and I'll tell you what, things can turn around very, very quickly. They can turn on almost a dime, as people don't see trouble coming, but we should see trouble coming. You know, the wise man sees trouble coming, and he hides himself. You know, the picture there is, you look out, you see the tornado. It's off in the distance. You see it coming. What do? You hide yourself from it. Yeah, you secure yourself. You make sure you got some food and some water, and you're prepared for that trouble. And that's something you should be doing for years. And I just said, I'm going to go out and buy me some more beans. Now that they're available in 50-pound sacks again, I'm going out and buy me some more beans and rice. And I'm going to get ready to weather a storm here, a storm that I see coming. And I was just thinking, well, you know, I may need to clean up the firearm, you know, or firearms, and secure the stash of, you know, ammunition that goes with it. So, well, we can't say we're not warned. So there you have it. Anybody in the chat room got anything to say about that? Here, I'm gonna get this, copy this link to this dream video here. Let's see. Sorry, baby. Things that I'm telling about medicine, don't believe me now, says Sid. And thank you for that. Rocket fella. Not sure I know what that's about, Bob, there in PA. Let me paste this in there. So there you have a link to that video, too. You know, post these things. Take them, post them on your Facebook, your Twitter, well, your wherever you got. Share them with people and whatever we have. Do email blasts, whatever. Share these things. And especially with the people you love. But let them check it out. Let them make their own decisions. I know it's hard to wake up. I mean, there are people that I love that are so blind. They're so blinded by because they haven't experienced. They don't know history. So I'll tell you what, when you look at the present through the eyes of history, everything becomes much more clear. Because you've seen what can happen, regardless of all the advances in technology and stuff, and regardless of the effect that, you know, the law of God and Christianity has had on the earth in the last, you know, 2,000 years, going through history, I see how fast it can turn around. And believe me, it's going to turn around that fast, and but just as fast, Christ is coming, and I believe he's coming by about 2055. Okay, let's see. Jesuit Fein, F-E-I-N. Okay, is that Jesuit Feinstein? Yeah, sorry, we only allow 10 letters because too many people, you know, if you allow unlimited digits for nomikers in the chat room, they take up too much room, and sometimes they don't say very nice things. So we've limited the names in the chat room to 10 spaces. So don't put a space or a hyphen in if you need to use all 10 of them. Okay. COVID-19, they make us go into our caves and do Ignatius Loyola's spiritual exercises, watch demons on Netflix, and eat poison takeout for those that are still deceived on these matters. There you go. Well, there's a good clue there. Yeah, that's what the world is doing. And they're watching the Fauci and all those, and Netflix and most of the things that are produced out there. They all have subliminal messaging in them, or at least most of them do. And most people are just mesmerized by all of that that's going on out there. That's why we need to spend time in God's Word. And it's better to listen to First Amendment radio all day long than to watch or listen to pop music or Netflix all day long. Yeah. So, let's see. Sid says, I'm trying to get out of the city because I know what's coming. Been praying about it. Well, you better get your tail in gear there, Sid. Because trying and praying can be called procrastination sometimes. So if you feel like the Spirit's moving you, to find some place to know somebody, got a relative, a cabin somewhere that belongs to relatives. You know, I was just thinking, I used to live up in the mountains here, and I was thinking about going up to the mountain resort there and checking with the local real estate office and finding out what cabins are for rent up there so that I have a list of cabins to go to. Yeah, because cabins that are unoccupied. Because I've rented cabins up in the mountains before. And it's a normal thing when someone goes up there to rent a cabin and strange people show up and move into a cabin. So a little clue there as to what you might do if you have to bug out. Oh, well, okay, well, keep your gas tank full. Remember, don't let it go below half full. And fill it up every time. We'll be back in a few minutes. We got one more episode to go, or a whole another hour to go.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, or watching it on YouTube, as it may be. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and this is a Prophecy Reality News edition. We do this once a week. We come to the studio, turn on the studio cam on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So put it on your calendar. Go to my website, nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org, and make sure that you follow my blog, and I'll try to get a notification out an hour before the broadcast that we're going live, or sometime an hour to a half hour before the broadcast, send out a post, and if you're on my mail list, you'll get that post from my blog. So go there and press the follow button. And, you know, read many of the articles, share what you find valuable, which I hope you'll find a lot of it valuable. Well, let's see, I want to address the bad guy in the chat room who looks like he quit and maybe came back as Guy and then quit again. Sometimes your browser makes you quit if you're not paying attention to it, I guess, depending on your browser. But anyway, your question about, let me answer that one quickly. He says, you greet believers as seated in heavenly places. Yeah, and I get Paul says that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yet you hold to soul sleep. I don't hold to soul sleep. I don't find any soul sleep in the Bible. Now, I know that Jesus did use the word sleep and as a... what's the word now? Word I'm looking for. When he meant someone had died, he's sleeping, and he meant that he was dead. So Sometimes you could say the people that are dead are asleep because they're in the grave. They're, at least their body is, but I don't believe their soul is sleeping. I mean, that would be an extra-biblical doctrine. And so I don't believe in extra-biblical doctrine. So I don't need to explain how I can believe that we're seated in heavenly places yet hold the soul sleep. And I'm not sure I understand how the two are connected, since I don't, it's not biblical. Where being seated in heavenly places is biblical, yet soul sleep is not. And if you want more specifics on that, I would be glad to, if you would email me, not in the chat room, because this is going to go by and I'm going to forget all about it. But you can go to my website there and follow my blog or ask me a question on the contact page. And I'll get back to you on that. Bad guy or guy, whichever it is, for whatever reason. Okay, anyway, I wanted to jump into my third video presentation that I found here. And this one has more to do with history, but it's also very contemporary because it has to do with slavery. And I did want to, let me see, one of these here. And I did want to share this with you. So if you're looking, I got a meme up here that I posted on one of my Facebook pages. And this, because someone was talking about American, the white American heritage and how Americans invented slavery and bad, 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 and we need to pay them reparations. And, you know, they neglect the true history. So this is about true history. This is white American history. More than 600,000 Americans died fighting a war that resulted in the abolition of slavery in America. The majority of these fathers and sons were white men. That Black Lives Matter was much more than a slogan or the name of a Marxist group seeking to overthrow the America they fought for. This you'll never hear from Black Lives Matter. They just want to shame you. But see, our American fathers paid, American fathers and sons paid with their lives, with their blood, to abolish slavery. What more do they want from us? That's what I have to ask. What more do they want? So go to our First Amendment Radio page, and that meme will be there. You'll find it there. So do take care of that. Now, for the presentation that I was talking about, this is a very good video. Because I haven't really studied this portion of history, and I'm enthralled with history. History opens your eyes to the present. So it's not just about, I mean, the criticism you'll hear from young people. Why do I want to read about a bunch of dead people? No, those people are alive at the times that you're writing about. And you don't want to make the mistakes that they made. And you want to be aware of what can happen. Because history has a way of, as they say, repeating itself, or certainly rhyming. Because nothing repeats exactly, okay? And this is this presentation is called the Privilege They Erased from History.
Hello, YouTube family. It's Miss Dana Ashley. I have been busily created what has turned out to be an over 2-hour length piece called America Civil War 2.0, but I have decided to release the finale as a standalone piece because, well, I think it's pretty important, and I do hope that you learn from and enjoy it. As a part of my final, yet very large point in all of this, I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this whole thing, this whole final stage of victim-oppressor PSYOP, it's designed for our destruction, because the entire premise that has created the current-day grievances that you'll see people offering, the asking for reparations.
I want you to find, by the time you leave, this autonomous zone, I want you to give $10 to one African American person from this autonomous zone. So find an African American person. The white people, I see you. I see every single one of you. And I remember your faces. You find that African American person and you give them $10. Cash App, Venmo, $10 in your pocket. Do it.
That justifies the whole white guilt, white privilege thing, right? It's all based on a lie. The lie being that the United States was built solely on the backs of black slaves who were solely owned and tortured by whites. Allow me to introduce the other side that you never learned in U.S. history class. For it was not only blacks who suffered greatly under the awful tradition of slavery. There were white slaves, and there were lots of them. Now, I've been studying this hidden truth in depth. I've looked through the work of suppressed historians and documents through multiple books that I've purchased. Many of them. Okay. Here's a quote from one of the authors of this book that I bought called White Cargo.
Now, as we began to investigate this, and we used all the kind of resources that investigators do. We look at every kind of book, every kind of official report, etc., diaries, letters. We realized it was an enormous story. And it was also something which refuted one of the great ideas, one of the key ideas of the development of slavery, which is that in 1619, slavery began in America with the arrival of 20 and odd Negroes, as they were called, sold, according to accounts, by a Dutch captain to planters in England. And this was where slavery began. Well, it wasn't true. Slavery had begun earlier. Children and women and convicts had been sold earlier than that. And although a small number of Africans were subsequently brought to Virginia and sold over the next decades, only very few, only 300, 50 years later. Oh, sorry, 20 years later. But meantime, hundreds, thousands of poor whites were being brought in, and on various convicts and children, etc., and they were being enslaved.
Well, after hearing that, you might be wondering, well, why haven't I heard about this? Perhaps that's because Hollywood never saw fit to make a multi-million-dollar movie about the topic. If we as a people even knew etymology better, we would have already figured out that the word slave itself comes from the word Slav, as in Eastern European descent. To be fair, all races at one point or another have suffered from slavery in some way, but white slavery specifically has been a huge reality in the history of the world that even Wikipedia, notorious for being selective about their histories themselves, have been forced to host an entire page on. This page goes over not hundreds of years of history, but thousands of years of proof of white slavery in the world. For example, well over a million Christian slaves were sold to Muslim masters via the African slave traders.
This is a story of the slave trade between Europe and Africa, a tragic tale of coastal villages raided and men, women and children carried off into captivity, loaded onto ships, taken to be sold as slaves in another continent and never seeing their homes again. A familiar enough narrative, except that in this case, the villages being depopulated in this way were English, and the slave traders arrived in ships which had sailed from Africa. Long before the British ever became involved in the slave trade, slavers out of Africa were raiding not only the British Isles, but many other European countries. From Iceland to Malta, Ireland to Spain, and Italy to the Netherlands, carrying off white slaves to be sold in the slave markets of Africa. The Barbary pirates were actually after people. White Christians specifically, who could be sold as slaves in Muslim countries, Slavery was an old African tradition, and it is not to be wondered at that it flourished on what became known as the Barbary Coast. Of course, everybody knows about Europeans going to Africa and taking the people off into slavery. It's taught in schools. White slavery is not so well known. The Barbary Coast was named after the Berbers who originally lived there and included countries like Algeria, Tunisia and modern-day Morocco. From ports there, Muslims set off to Europe to seize as many white Christians as they could for the slave markets of North Africa.
The stereotype from establishment history is that of a Muslim slaver herding chained blacks through the desert, when in fact, for 700 years until the fall of Muslim Spain, those being herded were first and foremost notoriously white. The fate of the hundreds of thousands of white slaves sold to the Arabs was described in Spanish texts as atrocima et ferocima, most atrocious and harsh. The men were worked to death as galley slaves. The women, girls, and boys were used as prostitutes. Dr. John Adzuma estimates in his 2001 book that slavers in these parts engaged in the incredible heinous practice of castration of both white and black men and boys to bring their highest priced specialty slave called the eunuch to the market. It is thought that 6 out of 10 men and boys died in this process. Now, this was done not only to stop their nature of retaliation, as well to make them best suited for guarding their other favorite slaves, their sex slaves known as a harem, many of which were also white. Now, eunuchs have been used for millennia in a variety of cultures. For example, according to author Ronald Siegel in his 2002 book, The Khalifa in Baghdad at the beginning of the 10th century, he had over 7,000 black eunuchs and 4,000 white eunuchs in his palace. I guess their white privilege did not save the white slaves that were children and women and eunuchs the same fate of their black counterparts. We suffered this atrocity together. Another story that we were never told by Hollywood or historians that could have brought us together instead of apart. All over European seas and coasts, the Barbary pirates in the 16th and 17th centuries constantly ransacked ships ran by Europeans, where they emptied them out, chained them up, and hauled them off to sell in northern Africa.
How extensive was this trade? Was it a trifling affair of a few hundred people here and there? Hardly. The island of Gozo, part of modern Malta, was attacked in July 1551, and the entire population of 5,000 people taken off into slavery. The sack of Baltimore in Ireland gives one good example of what was going on at that time. The entire population was removed. This was a serious problem for Europe, especially in the Mediterranean countries, but also for Britain and even Iceland. Current estimates suggest that the number of Europeans captured and taken to Africa numbered in the millions.
Yet we were all taught the romantic and entertaining stories of the pirates, those radical and lovable fellows, but not afraid to walk you off the plank in their search for treasure, right? But our history books, cartoons, and films failed to show us that, in fact, they were deep into the business of the snatching and sale of souls. And white Christians were their favorite variety. European slaves were acquired by these pirates in slave raids on coastal towns from Italy to France, England, Portugal to the Netherlands, even Iceland, and taken to Africa for their sale. European men, women, and children were captured to such a devastating extent in these seacoast towns that vast numbers of them were abandoned for fear of this dreaded fate. Now, we all know that America abolished slavery in 1865, right? But how many knew that it wasn't until 1904 that an agreement in Paris regarding the international white slave traffic was penned? The International Agreement for the Suppression of White Slave Traffic geared in great part again to the white women, little girls, and little boys that were still being commonly sold as sex slaves. Why haven't your women activists told you that story, huh? In the early 1600s, whites, mostly Irish, and African blacks were enslaved together in the sugar plantations in the West Keys in places like Barbados. This West Key Island man's accent, celebration of St. Patrick's Day in song, will make a whole lot more sense when you understand this fact.
No, Colleen, my own. There's a depth in my soul never sounded unknown. Sure, I love the dear silver that shines in your hair and the brow that's all furrowed and wrinkled with care. I kiss the dear fingers so toil worn for me. Oh, God bless you and keep you, Mother McCree.
Perhaps you find yourself wondering, whatever became of those white slaver pirates? Well, when you consider the fact that President Thomas Jefferson, starting in the year 1800, brought the U.S. Navy back to life for the purpose of one of our country's very first military operations, the Barbary Wars, to stop the pirates' extortion and terror of white enslavement against U.S. merchant ships, and they did so quite successfully, you then must consider that your U.S. history books never told you that. And therefore, you must deeply question everything else they taught you. As for Hollywood, can you even imagine how fantastic a movie could portray this event? It would easily make hundreds of millions of dollars. But movies aren't made merely for money. They're made to reinforce your programming. I think I found the deepest meaning for the phrase whitewashed when I fully realized the depths to which these historical facts have been completely removed from our American and world history classes, as well as establishment academics. Again, I'm talking about the chained up by the neck, traded off as cattle, shipped off, bought and sold, claimed on one's taxes, white slaves in colonial America. David Bryan Davis, writing in the New York Review of Books, said, "As late as the 14th and 15th centuries, continuing shipments of white slaves flowed from the booming slave markets on the North Black Sea coast. From Barbados to Virginia, colonists showed few scruples about reducing their less fortunate countrymen to a status little different than that of chattel slaves." Now, Random House Dictionary of English Language defines slavery as ownership of a person or persons by another or others. Now, this certainly describes the significant portion of whites brought to the colonies, as a greater number of them died than survived while still being bound in servitude. The book They Were White and They Were Slave states, "White slaves transported to the colonies suffered a staggering loss of life in the 17th and 18th centuries. During the voyage to America, it was customary to keep the white slaves below deck for the entire 9 to 12 week journey, chained with 50 others to a board with padlock collars around their necks." Independent investigator A.B. Ellis in the Argosy writes, "Concerning the transport of white slaves, the human cargo, many of whom were still tormented by wounds, could not lie down at once without lying on each other. The, quote, dungeon below was darkness, stench, lamentation, disease, and death." Now, I learned through study that unlike the black slaves who were purchased by African slave traders for a significant amount of money, the white slaves were mostly taken at no initial cost. Therefore, slavers apparently were less worried about protecting the survival of their investment. As the book Labor in America, A History describes, "Upon arrival in America, white slaves were put up for sale by the ship captains or merchants. Families were often separated under these circumstances when wives and offspring were auctioned off to the highest bidder. As for colonial America, there were some who had signed up for indentured servitude willingly, which we got about one paragraph of in school, and the story ended there. But they certainly didn't tell us that the vast majority of people technically falling under this category never agreed to this contract, but were taken unwillingly. We were given the false impression, aka lie, that all these people signed up for this ability to pay for their ship ride across America by working it off a number of years, and technically, this is who should be called an indentured servant. However, this is absolutely not how history played out, according to the actual records. Far more often than not, these were not willing participants, and only a small fraction of the full number made it to the end alive to receive their allocated land at the end of their term. To give you an idea of the levels, numbers, of white human bondage we're talking about, according to the book Bound Over, from 1609 until the early 1800s, between one half and two thirds of all the white colonists who came to the New World came as slaves. We were never told that a staggering 20% death rate of these unfortunate souls during their shipping was considered acceptable, and that losing 50% of the cargo to death was not that uncommon, especially when children were involved, and there were often children involved. As an indent.
Okay, we're going into a break here. We're going to pick up that right where we left off when we get back. You're listening to Across the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org. Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're listening to a little history. And I hope everybody has been enjoying that. Yes, Corporate says, look up Anthony Johnson, 1670, first slave owner, first lifetime slave owner in America. And she does cover that. That's coming up in this little history there. And if you follow to my face, to our First Amendment Radio page, that I put a link there in the chat room for First Amendment Radio, all of these videos are linked there, plus the meme for the Civil War payment that whites paid to abolish slavery in America. I think that trumps everything that they say they want today, reparations, whatever. Is not blood and lives enough for them? No, they want your soul. Is it not Nicholas? I have no idea what that question means. No, it is me. I am Nicholas. It is me. Okay, well, anyway, let's continue with the video here, and got about 15 minutes.
Getting married or having a baby was not allowed, and if a young woman did get pregnant, her contract would be extended by years, and her baby would be indentured for 31 years, or simply taken from the mother to be sold and never to be seen again. To understand how a dynamic like this could ever happen, we need to know that a significant portion of these people wound up being slaves in the islands like Barbados, as well as colonial Virginia, endured what was called being Barbadosed, a term to describe political resistors being sold into enslavement, not because they were officially criminals, but were labeled as such because they resisted the takeover of the English government, such as what happened in Ireland with Cromwell. There were also many groups sold into slavery from Britain due to the British Parliament empowering the magistrates to enslave the British poor beyond the seas by labeling them criminals. Slaves came to be made of poor whites who committed the atrocious crimes such as cutting down firewood or poaching a deer from what had been property of the commons. You could be punished into slavery by fishing in an enclosed pond or solemnizing a marriage in secret. An actual example is a father, Thomas Atwood, who, for his wife and children crying from starvation, had nothing to give them, so he took a sheep to feed them. As a result, he was sold in America as a slave. The end result being for many being separated from their families and transported to the colonies, often for life. Furthermore, there were also large groups of men, women, and children who were just straight up kidnapped from the British Isles. Some were simply knocked over their heads in the streets, taken drunk out of a pub, or tricked aboard ships from the streets of England. Now, you have to realize that the snatching and selling of souls was made possible through not only the invasion of Cromwell into Ireland, but that this, along with a virtual industry of enslaving white children, was born to fill the needs for running the colonies and was justified within the shadows of a law put into effect by James I. It was called For the Due and Speedy Execution of the Statute Against Rogues, Vagabonds, Idle, and Dissolute Persons. This law essentially gave permission to legally entrap or snatch the poor in the British Isles, who were simply asking for food, many of whom were poor children with no parents, to then be shipped off into slavery in North America, whose only crime is that they were poor and perhaps happened to be found sleeping in the streets when a constable walked by. This horrendous English trend is actually where the word kidnapped came from, although today we use it to describe all different ages of persons taken against their will, but it was coined from the term kidnapped, a frequent fate of the poor children on the streets of the British Isles. This reality was certainly perpetuated by the fact that in some cases up to 50% of the sale of the person went to the local judge and a small percentage went to the king himself. The law contained the phrase, with the power to have their order assigned places and parts beyond the seas unto which such places be banished. The other side of the story, which we won't go into here, that it was the wealthy aristocrats whose laws put the people into this dire state of poverty in the first place via the theft of the common property of the people, again, banishing them from fishing or hunting on the lands which they had always had access to hundreds of years before. But to give you an example of how widespread this kidnapping and selling into servitude was, according to Edward Channing in the History of the United States, there were 10,000 English whites kidnapped for this purpose in 1 year, 1670, alone. Now do the math for well over 100 years. Yep, whites were slaves too. Even before the first African was brought into America, and when one can scarcely think of whites as slaves, the mind first thinks, well, surely they were treated better, right, than what we hear the black slaves were treated later on. But in the documents, when you dig deep, paint a very different story. Like those found in the records of Middlesex County, Virginia, whippings were commonplace, as were iron collars and chains. The horrifying treatment was not an uncommon reality of whites in bondage in the colonies, but it was so common, in fact, that the whipping of white slaves resulted in so many being beaten to death that in 1662, the Virginia Assembly passed a law prohibiting the private burial of white slaves because such burials helped to conceal murders by their masters. The colonial records are simply chocked full of the death of white servants by beatings and starvation and exposure, yet you'll find no conviction of the murder of their masters, only innocence, perhaps due in part to the fact that it was only the propertied white class, and therefore for whom white slavery was very profitable, that were allowed to serve on a jury. White slaves and white servants were forbidden this privilege. Look, this certainly is not a look who suffered contest. I am forced to point out a very deep, dark fact about our nation's history because of this contrived narrative that is today using the lies by the offspring of the same elites that today are causing so many of us to openly hate and persecute each other right now. This omission of our true past is a crime in and of itself. The horrendous story of black slaves, and it was a horrendous story, has been told over and over and over. But the horrendous story of white servitude and slavery has been completely and purposefully hidden. There are even channels and propaganda right now trying to say that if you speak about white slavery, you yourself are a white supremacist. What? Shouldn't it be obvious that admitting to the most humiliating human experience in existence, that of slavery, is about as opposite of supremacist as you can get? Why shouldn't we learn from our horrible mistakes, all of them, of the wrong ways we treated all people? Meanwhile, the tons of Irish slaves brought into America suffered horrible prejudices for many centuries following, prejudices for simply being Irish, effectively preventing them from getting jobs or housing. Signs like this all over America at that time were not uncommon, perhaps because the story of white slavery was hidden in the retelling of American history and never told through American media. Perhaps that alone helped the Irish to more easily move on with their lives and so flourish. Again, the psychological damage inflicted upon blacks through perpetuating them as the only slave race, this relentless narrative that has been hung over their heads for decades as the victim culture, is extremely damaging to them. Shouldn't it be a relief that they're not the only ones? That they could perhaps make them feel not so alone in this measure? But again, that is not what our keepers want. They want to keep only a certain people in the clutches of the psychological slavery that exists in the mind and spirit that is victimhood. And that woman you saw earlier, I think she was Jamaican American. She didn't have it.
Blacks are oppressed. I am black. I'm not oppressed. I am free.
That's for you. That's an individual person. What about a systemic issue?
Where? I do what I want. You have the skills. This is a country where you have the skills. You want to do what you want. You do it. Stop forcing on people to accept that they're oppressed. They are not. I am not oppressed. I am black.
The victimhood narrative is damaging, and it is a lie. It's like having a wound, a deep cut of a wound. And just as it starts to scab over and heal, you rip it off and have to start over with the pain all over again, inflicting the trauma over and over with each new story of victimhood, thus preventing the healing from ever happening. If peace is what they wanted, they wouldn't cut the blacks that were standing together with the whites out of the picture. If peace is what they wanted, they wouldn't remind us of the truth of how very long it's been since slavery has been abolished in America. Compared to other countries, it's 167 countries in which modern slavery is still a thing today. In this map here, modern slavery, according to the Global Slavery Index, is currently affecting about 48 million people in the world right now. Where Africa still has some of the highest per capita estimates of slavery, with 9.2 million women, men, and children being modern slaves. The thing I can tell you is that America came out of its horrible practices of slavery in a shorter time span than has ever been seen in any country who ever engaged in slave trade. Whereas places like North Africa carried on this heinous tradition for well over 1,400 years and impacted slaves of many colors, and again is still suffering with it today. Yet all the media can do is focus on what happened in America 200 years ago? Another huge point that if more people knew would stop this white guilt narrative, this white privilege narrative in its tracks. And that is that in 1640, there was not yet any real legal entity of permanent slavery yet. The only durante vita, or servitude for life, up to that point were the white slaves considered to have no rights because of their accused crimes in the British Isles. Remember, when you could be a criminal for taking a rabbit or whatever. So there was no permanent slaves for the blacks being imported at that point until the Georgia Northampton County court records show us that Anthony Johnson sought to legally become the first to own a slave for life in America. Anthony Johnson was black. So the first legally appointed slave for life, a man named John Cassor, happened because Anthony and Mary Johnson, black owners of a tobacco farm in Virginia, fought to win the judicial determination of a slave for life. Wow. One may think when hearing that, well, surely that's an exception. When, in fact, after slavery became a common institution, slave owning by free blacks was so common that in the period of the Commonwealth, it went on unnoticed. I mean, there was no criticism of it. By those who recorded the times, there was abundant proof found in various court records and legislative petitions. According to historian R. Halliburton Jr., there were approximately 599 free blacks in the United States. 1830, okay, this is 35 years before slavery was abolished, right? Yet, at the same time, there were 3,775 free blacks who owned 12,740 black slaves. Why weren't we told this in Black History Month? Furthermore, how many times are we told about the awful scene in the Trail of Tears in school? Guys, I remember getting so upset about that. I remember crying about that in school. And yet, how many times did we learn that the Native Americans brought with them through their displacement their black slaves? Oh, I think they left that out. Yet, historian Tyra Miles placed the number of enslaved blacks held by Cherokee Nation at around 1,500 black slaves at the time of their westward removal in 1838 through 1839. The Creeks, Choctaws, and Chickasaws, she said, held around 3,500 black slaves across the three nations as the 19th century began. Wow. And as for the percentage, the real actual world percentage of white families who actually own slaves, which should be taken into deep consideration when we see pictures like this, according to Adam Rothman, a historian at Georgetown University, he was quoted as saying that using census numbers for 1840, the percentage of families owning slaves was 7.4%. To make the slavery in American narrative even more complicated, as it should be, because it is, in fact, we know that black and Native Americans also came to own white slaves in Virginia. Yay! Enough so that in 1670, the House of Burgess wrote legislature alluding to this fact. See the slide here. The law, though, apparently was not heeded since 35 years later, it was written also into Virginia's Slave Code of 1705 that reiterated a law indicating that blacks and Native Americans were still owning or purchasing Christians, which was a euphemism for a white person. By recounting and emphasizing again and again and again, the sufferings of only black people under slavery, with no mention of the riddled and long history of whites being enslaved, not only in the history of the world, but right here in the good old US of A, The white student of today is made to feel that his ancestors alone were cruel, morally retarded, and evil. They are made to feel that they owe blacks a nearly infinitesimal compensation, since they are taught that black people's problems today are the legacy of hundreds of years of slavery for which white people are solely responsible. Yet, the evidence that I have provided with you today offers a mountain of contradiction that is the other side of the story. White students today are taught the lie that the relative prosperity we enjoy today, if we are actually blessed to enjoy it, many of which are not, was achieved largely by the exploitation of black slaves. Is it any wonder that thousands of our young people join Freemason Jesse Jackson in chanting, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, Western culture's gotta go"?
Why are you out? We're on your side! We're on your side! Holy shit! We're on your side!
And remember how earlier I talked about all of this being about order out of chaos? Well, even white guilt, this apex of the chaos we see now, was planned over many decades. Evil elitist from a banking lineage, Frederick Lehman was a handler to Winston Churchill, and he admitted this according to the personal memoirs of Lord Sherwell when he was quoted as saying, "Do you know what the future historians will regard as the most important event of this age? It will not be Hitler and the Second World War. It will not be the release of nuclear energy. It will not be the menace of communism. It will be the abdication of the white man." Jesus said, "Follow me." He never said, "Follow Freemason occultists used to divide God's people who by their very nature are antithetical to Christian principles." I've already showed you that it was the mystery religions of Babylon that crept into America from her founding. It is today the same Antichrist spirit that has perpetuated the evils that we are all suffering from today. Yet we wrongly teach our children through the media nothing short of a false history.
Okay,
school.
Welcome back.
It was Christianity that was
there you can see quite a moving video and quite a history lesson there. And that put that link on our Facebook page there. And I believe I put that one in the chat room. Did I? Yeah, if I didn't, I'm going to put it in there now. So you can get this one too if you're watching live. Yep, I believe that's it. Yes, thanks for that. We got to cover Anthony Johnson, the first slave owner, the father of slavery in America. Anthony Johnson, a black man, slave owner, a tobacco plantation owner, the first. They don't celebrate that Black History Month. I wonder why not. Why they couldn't shame all those white people. You see those pictures of those people being allowing themselves to be chained and shamed and kissed the feet of white of black people because of the shame of our history. And like I said, you know, it's wasn't it enough? You know, isn't our white American heritage enough? That more than 600,000 Americans died, they paid with their lives and their blood, fighting a war that resulted in the abolition of slavery in America. The majority of these fathers and sons were white men. That Black Lives Matter was much more than a slogan or the name of a Marxist group seeking to overthrow the America that they fought for. We have the America they fought for. Let's back up a little bit. Sure, it didn't happen overnight. You can't wipe out racism overnight. You can't erase from the minds of men. It takes time for things to change, but they have changed. The trajectory has been positively in favor of blacks over the last however many years it's been since the Civil War, since so many white Americans laid down their lives. And yes, there were blacks that laid down their lives and others that laid down their lives. There were actually Irish slaves fighting in that war, and many against their will on the side of the North. That's another part of history. Look up the Civil War riots in the North. You can learn all about that history too, that they don't teach you in your public fool system history books. You know, this goes to the agenda of the Antichrist. Him and his shadow government, through their intrigue, they control, have very tight controls in education and what is taught in the public school system. They own the money. Yeah. And they have such a tight hold on it, you'll see, that you won't even be able to buy or sell in the years to come unless you worship the beast or its image or the man of sin, yes, the Antichrist himself, unless you in some way, in one of those ways prescribed at the end of chapter 13 of the Revelation, unless in one of those ways prescribed you worship the beast, you will not be able to partake and use their monetary system without their permission. Get ready, it's coming. And I hope this has been a worthwhile broadcast for you today. Let's see, we got a few minutes. Let me check the chat room, see if we got any comments or questions there. What is the history and suppression of historical truth? Well, I think this whole hour we've talked about the suppression of historical truth. There's called a counter-reformation war on history, on Protestantism, or true biblical Christianity. That's where liberty and the freedom, the abolition of slavery sprang from. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.